Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Whole Foods Market brings you meals worth sharing this holiday season. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com/shop for our online menu and ordering system. Local turkeys, inspired sides, and even a little something for your hosts, all available online or in-store at one of our 6 Manhattan locations. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com for more details.
Okay, it's Thursday and 1 o'clock, and you are tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to The Farm Report with Aaron Fairbanks, and we are here live in studio with Robin Berger of Hot Bread Kitchen. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So nice and cozy in the studio today. Roberta's has the wood stove fired up out front. So if you're hungry for lunch, you should definitely come on down. And I'm pretty sure you'll be hungry by the end of this show. Robin, I'm really stoked to get into the work that's happening up in Harlem at the Hot Bread Kitchen. But before we tuck into that, I'd like to know a little bit more about you and kind of what led you to the kitchen and what your background is.
Sure. So I'm originally from the Bay Area in California. And if you don't know, there's a ton of great bread in the Bay Area. So I grew up definitely loving bread, but not expecting that to be where my career went. I came out to New York for college. I went to Vassar up in Poughkeepsie, okay. Studied economics. And
that was a smart choice. I wish I had studied economics.
And as I progressed in my education, I became involved with sort of the food farming and social justice world through a program through Cornell Cooperative Extension called the Green Teen Program up in Poughkeepsie. So I was working with youth doing urban garden-based hands-on education, youth development, and job training. And when I graduated, I worked with that program for a couple of years and then ended up moving to the city for a position with Hot Bread Kitchen.
Awesome. And you came to Hot Bread Kitchen as an AmeriCorps visa?
As an AmeriCorps, yeah.
A bold move. AmeriCorps in New York is tough. I mean, I definitely have like a few friends who have done it. You're like rubbing two pennies together. But at least in your position, you had bread to eat. So
it's definitely true. And I was fortunate to be working with a number of vistas who were all sponsored through Just Food. So we had a nice community of support and a lot of people who are sort of in the same position, which I think definitely makes that kind of lifestyle easier.
Yeah, absolutely. So you came to Hot Bread Kitchen about three years ago?
Just about 2.5 years ago.
And
it feels like it's been much longer.
Yeah, but time flies, right? How long has Hot Bread Kitchen been operating? Not much longer than that.
Not much longer than that. It's in its fourth year.
Okay.
It was officially incorporated as a not-for-profit in 2008. And then I came on in the summer of 2009.
All right. And your title is the Business Development Manager, correct?
I am, yes.
Awesome. So when you started with the Hot Bread Kitchen, they were located out in Queens, but they've since moved, right?
We have. We had a few locations when I first started. We had an office space in Gowanus in Brooklyn, out of the Old American Can Factory. And so that was where the bulk of our operations went on. We did all of our administrative work there. We hosted English classes for our bakers, created volunteer opportunities, and that was definitely our home base. But our baking happened in a commercial kitchen in Long Island City called the Artisan Baking Center, which is now the Entrepreneur's Space.
Okay.
And so we would rent kitchen space there by the shift, pack everything up in Brooklyn, cart it over there in the car. Everybody would meet and at the kitchen, produce as much as we could in our 8 hours there, pack it all up, do our deliveries, and head back to the office.
Wow. So I guess I feel like maybe we got a little ahead of ourselves, and maybe we should take a step back and have you explain a little about what actually is the hot bread kitchen. What is the kind of model? I mean, obviously you guys bake bread, but it's not, it's more than that.
Exactly. So Hot Bread Kitchen is a social enterprise. Our goal is to create professional opportunities for low-income, foreign-born minority women in the commercial baking and food manufacturing industry. And we do that by employing women who have baking skills from their home countries or experience baking ethnic breads in their homes and have a good, you know, a good feel for dough, a good aptitude for the kind of work that kitchen work involves. And we offer them paid English classes and then paid on-the-job training, so they're able to gain the skills that they would need to go on to a better paid, higher level management track position in the culinary industry. So our goal is to be employing women and then graduating them into other jobs or eventually helping them launch their own small business.
Wow. So you guys are working on a lot of stuff. So you when you were getting started out in Queens, I mean, it sounds like a challenging kind of set of circumstances to work through as far as transporting and renting the kitchen space. And so I'm assuming like wanting to have a little bit more stability is what led you to make the shift up to Harlem, or how did that really happen?
It was really, we were outgrowing the space. You know, we were incredibly lucky to be able to have a licensed kitchen to produce in as a resource when we were first starting out. But at a certain point, we sort of outgrew the incubator model and needed a full-time production space to be really achieving the kind of economy of scale we needed to be able to grow.
And can you say, like, what, I mean, why is it important to have a licensed kitchen space?
To be able to sell your breads, they need to be produced in a licensed commercial kitchen.
So that means like a kitchen that's been inspected by the health department.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's part of it. And also just to be able to have the space to be producing in the kind of volume necessary. We would be, you know, baking 24 hours a day if we were baking out of a home kitchen and still wouldn't be able to produce nearly the amount of bread we need to produce to actually be, generating enough revenue to sustain the program.
Okay. So where did the funding come from? I mean, how did that work? I mean, you said that you were established as a non-for-profit in 2008 or 9?
Mm-hmm, 2008.
So, you know, you were in operation a little bit before that. And then now I'm just curious kind of how, you know, the bills were getting paid, especially as you were kind of expanding and like ramping up your production and training.
Yeah, well, one of our founder, Jessamine Waldman Rodriguez, was an Echoing Green Fellow, and which Echoing Green is an organization that provides startup funding and financing to social enterprises, and so that was definitely a huge support in getting the organization off the ground and being able to, for Jessamine to be able to really focus on it and launch it. We also received an Eileen Fisher grant, who's one of our first funders, and we've continued to fundraise and receive a mix of public and private funding at this point. But our goal, you know, in growing the bakery is to really be able to fund our operations with bread sales.
Okay. And how big are those operations today? I mean, what does the production schedule look like? What's the kind of staff and scope of what's happening up there?
So we're now producing 7 days a week. Our facility is open 24 hours a day. And we make, you know, between 10 and 15 deliveries every day to different wholesale clients, which receive daily bread. You know, in contrast, when we first started out, we were baking one shift a week, maybe two shifts a week, but definitely weren't in full-time production. And so now we're 7 days a week in full operation for wholesale. And then we're also producing for 4 different days of green markets where we also sell our breads.
Okay. So if people want to find bread from the Hot Bread Kitchen, they can look for you at Green Market and they can look for you in retail outlets. And do you do like home delivery or mail order, anything like that?
Not at this point, but we are increasingly widely available. So we're at 10 different green markets around the city. We'll be at the New Amsterdam Market for the rest of the year. And we're in all 6 Whole Foods stores. You can find us in the bakery department. And we're also at a number of wonderful small specialty shops that carry some of our shelf-stable products as well.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about those products. I mean, I know that every Wednesday I stop by the market at Union Square and get a piece of the, I always say this wrong, the semen.
That was that right? That was good. That was close.
Which is a Moroccan flatbread.
It is.
That is delicious, and is like my pre-weapons of mass media class treat. But there, you guys have a pretty broad product line that's kind of drawing on influences from around the world. So maybe you can kind of take us through some of the breads and then we'll go back and maybe get a little bit more detail on some of the stories behind them.
Sure. I would say semen is definitely one of the breads that we're best known for. I guess just to preface this, we have a line of multi-ethnic breads, many of which are inspired by the recipes or the skills and traditions of the women who come to train with us. So our goal is not just to be training women to bake bread, but also to be highlighting their contributions to New York City and the culinary heritage that immigrant communities bring to New York and to this country. So one of our definitely best known products in the green markets is a fantastic Moroccan flatbread that two of our bakers, Bushra and Fatima, who are still with us, have inspired. We also make a Mexican corn tortilla, which is made from fresh nixtamal, which means we soak the corn, soak dried corn overnight, grind it fresh every time we're producing tortillas.
You said the bicycle grinder. Was that a Hot Bread Kitchen thing?
It was. It still is. It's not in regular production anymore, but it is a great party or demonstration feature that we bring out once in a while.
So it was basically like a bicycle that had been attached to a maize grinder, right? So when you rode the bike, it would grind the grain.
It'll grind the grain for you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe not the most efficient method of production, but definitely like
it's definitely more efficient than grinding by hand. But we've since graduated. It's now in our sort of archived history of corn grinding.
All right, so you have the tortillas. What else?
We make an Armenian style lavash cracker. One of the breads that I brought for you today is a Persian barberry, which is a Persian style flatbread. We make a variety of different challah breads, which is a traditional Jewish bread, well known in New York. We make a bialy.
Oh yeah, I love the bialys too.
Which just got a nice shout out in Serious Eats.
Oh, those ones are great.
And then we make a variety of European style, you know, more traditionally inspired breads, like a ciabatta. We make a sourdough. We make baguettes. We make a, you know, classic multigrain that features a lot of local ingredients. We make a German style rye bread, and then a more classic New York rye, and a variety of, you know, hearth breads that sort of round out our product line and function well, not just in retail, but can also be served in restaurants and have multiple applications.
And what about, you mentioned like shelf-stable products?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our three shelf-stable products that we currently offer are our lavash, our Armenian-style lavash crackers, our tortillas, which are a refrigerated product. They last about 10 days in the refrigerator. So those can be sold in stores and don't need to be delivered daily. And then we also make a nutty granola.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is inspired by our founder's Canadian heritage.
Great. Well, I think that we will probably take a short break. And when we come back, I would love to talk a little bit about things from the farmer's perspective and where you're kind of sourcing some of these grains and how that works into the work up at the Hot Bread Kitchen.
Can't hold my soul.
All right, we are bringing it back. You are tuned into the Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network, and we are coming to you live from the back of Roberta's in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm live in studio with Robin Berger, who's the Business Development Manager for the Hot Bread Kitchen. So, Robin, before the break, you were taking us through all of the delicious breads that are happening up at the Hot Bread Kitchen. And I know that you guys sell at Green Markets, and June Russell, who's been on the show before, has launched with the team there a big kind of grain promotion, and has spent the last couple of years really working on promoting regional grain growth in the greater New York area. So I'm curious, how does that work from the producer end? What are those kind of specifications, and how do you guys work kind of local grains into your products?
It's been exciting to work with Green Markets because local agriculture and local grains is a personal passion of mine, and so it was exciting to be developing our breads for admission to the Green Market system and really be thinking more strategically and critically about the grains that we are using and how we can build more local grain into our product line. We source a variety of our grains from upstate New York. We make our yellow tortillas are made with a local yellow corn, which is organically grown, and is really makes one of the best tortillas I've ever had. We've tried a lot of different kinds of corn, and it's very difficult to find the varieties of corn that are grown for tortillas, in Mexico and in the southern United States. Here.
Sure.
But there happens to be this variety that we use happens to work incredibly well and is really delicious. It's incredibly flavorful.
That's exciting. I think, especially bread is kind of such an interesting expression of its ingredients because it often includes so few. I mean, tortillas are basically corn and water.
So, and traces of lime, which is the mineral that you use to soak it. But yeah, it's very simple.
So when you're doing something that simply, I think the source of the ingredients becomes, really the signature of the product. So you're using corn in their tortillas, and then how else are you working in regional products?
We make a fantastic multigrain that is very popular. We call it the Upstate Multigrain Loaf, and it's made with local New York State whole wheat flour, locally grown rye berries, locally grown wheat berries, and locally grown and milled cornmeal. And that is one of our products that's really featuring the most local grain. We also make two different rye breads, both of which use local rye flour, and one of which is a multigrain rye. And so that uses a variety of local grains as well. And then we do incorporate a portion of whole wheat flour into some of our white breads as well. So our ciabatta is made with what's called a pre-ferment, a dough that part of the dough ferments for 12 hours before it's mixed into the dough to bake.
Okay.
And that's made with a local whole wheat flour. So we've been a little bit creative about different ways to incorporate it, whether it's really the feature of the bread or whether it's just incorporating it. So we're making sure that we are supporting farmers in our flour usage and adding a little bit of dimension to some of the breads that we have. We also make, I think, the only local whole wheat challah in New York City.
Oh, wow.
with whole wheat flour.
Nice. Oh, I think that's one of the things I find kind of so fascinating about the grain project and breads in particular, because baking is kind of such a craft, it's like this real mix of art and science. And especially if you're doing it on a larger scale, you really need the products, the raw ingredients to be relatively consistent, which I think is kind of one of the challenges when you're working with a variety of growers or small scale mills. And so I think it really takes a lot. It can really take a lot for people to figure out kind of how to make it work for them. So it's great that you guys are finding a bunch of spots. And it sounds like there's probably potential for that to even grow within what you're doing. So I'm curious, you said at the beginning of the goal of the Hot Bread Kitchen is to kind of create a space for women to kind of learn skills or share skills. And how do these women find you? And obviously through the breads, I can take a guess at some of their backgrounds, but how do they kind of get to you? And can you talk a little bit about how, different people have kind of come into and grown with the organization, and maybe what the goal might be. You know, what would success look like if you had a magic wand and you know, could see into the future like 10 years down the road?
Sure. That's an exciting question. Well, a lot of our, I'll talk about outreach first. A lot of our bakers have come to us through partner organizations that have provided referrals. One of my first tasks early on as an AmeriCorps volunteer was to start reaching out and developing relationships with different not-for-profit organizations, community-based organizations, English classes around the various boroughs of New York City, and, you know, just get people aware of who we are and what we're doing, and sort of the ideal profile of somebody who could come in and be really successful with us. So many of our bakers have come, you know, referred through those organizations. Some of it has been word of mouth. You know, we always encourage the women who are working with us and who know really what it takes to be successful in the kitchen and what kind of a person will enjoy that type of work to refer, you know, sisters, cousins, friends.
Having worked in a kitchen, I would say it's definitely not something for everyone, but if it's a good fit, it's a good fit.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And it's wonderful to see people thrive in that environment. And, you know, some people have just heard about us through word of mouth. One of our bakers who's been with us the longest walked into the kitchen one day about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, with a flyer in her hand. I have no idea how she got it, who printed it. You know, it must have been in somebody at some organization that I'd emailed our job description to. She came in with the flyer asking for a job, and has grown with the organization since.
What are some of the jobs? I mean, what are some of the things that you guys would be posting for that we might see on like a listserv?
It's primarily a baking trainee. You know, most of our jobs are for entry-level baking trainees. But we do have administrative openings from time to time. We are always looking for workers in the markets, but the bulk of our hiring is for entry-level trainees in our job development program.
Okay, and you guys obviously have undergone a ton of growth from the, you know, one baking shift a week to producing, you know, 7 days a week full-time, so I imagine that the organization has grown quite a bit. And are there other, I mean, as far as you know, people who have left to go on to bake somewhere else, have there been any organizations that you've kind of partnered with on that end?
Absolutely. Right now, we're really growing so quickly that rather than graduating our trainees into other bakeries or other jobs, we're trying to promote them internally as much as possible and really needing to hold on to the human capital that we're investing in.
Yeah, of course.
We have placed a couple of our bakers at the bakery at Restaurant Danielle in the city. One of our bakers continues to work part-time there and then train part-time with us. She also takes English classes with us and then works one afternoon a week at the Union Square Green Market after her shift at Danielle. she's a busy lady.
Sounds like it.
And then another one of our bakers worked with Restaurant Danielle for a while, came back to work and was doing both jobs, both with us and with Danielle part-time, and has since come on full-time as our production manager. So that's been a real success to see her move into that role, and you know, has always been a leader in the kitchen, but is great to see her learning how to you know, make her own spreadsheets and do her own formulations and really be managing a full shift.
Wow.
On her own. And so that's great.
And you guys also have an incubator program. I mean, how is that different from the kitchen, or is it, I mean, what is that about?
It's completely different from the kitchen. We have, but related, we have, in our space up in Harlem, we have our own production and training facility for our baking trainees. And then we also have an incubator kitchen, that is broken up into 7 rentable spaces. And we launched this January, when we moved into the new space, we launched a sister program called HBK Incubates. And it's a business development program for startup food businesses in New York City. You know, the goal being to eventually have our own trainees be moving into that into that program and be able to offer business development support to women in our program who would like to launch their own business. But the incubator is open to anyone in New York City who has a great food idea and is interested in growing their food business. So it's a membership-based program. We accept applications and review them quarterly. And when we identify viable food businesses that we think will succeed in the program, we bring them in and offer them both programmatic support as well as hands-on support in the kitchen while they're producing. And then we rent the kitchen space by the shift at a lower rate to members of our program. And then also have it available for commercial tenants who are producing, don't necessarily need the business development support, but just really have a predictable production schedule and need a regular place to do their production.
So that's interesting. I mean, I think when a lot of times when you're having discussions about how to, grow a local or regional food system, the value-added products are something that people are always talking about. How do we create a space for value-added products? Like how do we, take something that's grown in the region and add value to that or stability to that so that you can sell it? So can you tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that's being produced there? Are there product lines that people might be able to buy or be familiar with, or is it still kind of in development stages?
A lot of it is still in development, but people are at all different stages of business growth. One business that is really taking off is Taste of Ethiopia. It's an Ethiopian food business that was originally based out of the Midwest and is starting a packaged, prepared Ethiopian food business here. We also have a wide variety of businesses. I think there are about 30 businesses operating out of the space at this point.
Wow.
And range from, cookie, cupcake, specialty, pastry, to prepared foods, to catering, kind of all over the map. And we're open to bringing any type of food business in. So we're always looking to diversify what the products that are produced in that space and the types of businesses that are working in there. Another one you may know is Salvor Pupusas. They're great pupusa vendor from the Red Hook.
I think do they sell at the Brooklyn Flea too?
They do.
All right. Yeah. I definitely enjoyed those pupusas. I'm just curious. I mean, was the relocation to Harlem, I mean, was Harlem the destination, or was it really more that there was an existing space there? And either way, kind of how have you found the integration into the community there and the community as a resource around the business?
We had our sights set on, finding a space before choosing a neighborhood, and there was a great opportunity to move into this space in Harlem in partnership with the city and open not just a training facility, but also an business incubation facility. But the East Harlem community, I think, is really an opportune place to be doing this kind of work because there is such a rich food culture there. It's a very diverse community, and it's a great place to be seeking out both talented food businesses, talented entrepreneurs, as well as talented women who would be great candidates for our baking program.
Awesome. So obviously one of the best ways to support you guys would be to find you at Green Markets or find you at the Whole Foods or one of the retail outlets. You guys also offer a CSA. Can you tell us how that would work?
We just finished our CSA season.
Yeah.
For the past 3 years, we've delivered bread shares each week to different CSAs throughout the city. This year, we worked with Harlem Community Food Share, Stanton Street CSA, the Park Slope CSA, and the Prospect Heights CSA. And members would just purchase a bread share up front at the beginning of the season, the same way they would purchase their vegetables, which is a great support for us because we have a predictable amount of revenue and are able to send people great bread every week.
That's awesome. And then I guess the other way that people can get involved, you are a nonprofit, so they can make donations of either money or skills or resources. So how do we find out more, if people want to get involved, where can we find you?
I would say visit our website. It's hotbreadkitchen.org. You can make a donation there. You can find out about some of the volunteer opportunities. We're looking for skilled volunteers to support as culinary coaches in the incubator and are always looking for skilled support in the bakery as well, and fast hands to help us stamp bags.
Yeah, I'm sure with the holiday season, you guys will have plenty of opportunities for.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Robin, thank you so much for coming down to Brooklyn on this rainy day. And it was great talking with you. And we look forward to kind of keeping in touch with the Hot Bread Kitchen as you guys grow over the next few years.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.